Served Cold by Dave Baldwin.
She said that they broke down just after they'd entered the forest. You know, by the deer park. The engine just suddenly stopped and they coasted to a standstill. They were miles from anywhere. I mean from anywhere where they could get help. He just said something about the fuel pump, but he didn't even attempt to get out and fix it. He just said, "Oh well, it looks as if we'll have to stay here for the night." It was only when she produced her mobile and said that she could phone her brother-in-law that he said, "Well, hang on, I'll have a look at it. It could just be a wire that's come loose." Then he got out, lifted the bonnet, and after about 30 seconds he got back in saying, "That should do it." Then he started the car, put the bonnet down and drove her home. She feels sure it was a put-up job. They haven't spoken since. He's been chatting to that new girl, Pat, from accounts. Sylvia wonders whether she should warn her about him.
Warn her about what? Tell her he's got a dodgy fuel pump? He didn't do anything illegal.
No, but she thinks he intended to. She said that he acted sort of creepy.
Oh, well then, that's an open and shut case. He has a dodgy fuel pump and he acts kind of creepy, Your Honour. Lock him up and throw away the key. Don't you think that Sylvia's being a bit overdramatic? He didn't exactly drag her into the car by her hair, did he? If it was some stranger stopping to give her a lift late at night, it might be a different case, but a bloke from work giving you a lift home after a dance class is not the sort of stuff that ends up in the News of the World, is it?
Not these days, no. The News of the World folded 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, very funny. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, sorry. I know what you mean, but I agree with Sylvia about him being a bit creepy. Sometimes I look up from my desk and find him staring at me very intently. It's a bit weird.
Oh, well, lucky old you. Only time I see a bloke staring at me, it's a look of distaste, like where the hell did that come from?
Oh, don't be daft. Anyway, it's not that sort of look. It's sort of, I don't know, sort of calculating, as if he's making up his mind to do something or say something. When he sees that I'm looking at him, he just gives that little sneaky smile, as if he was sharing some sort of secret. Really creepy.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, but not dangerous or illegal. I'm sure that if Pat from accounts has the same impression of him, she won't fall for any of his tricks. He's not even very bright. Lousy his job.
That's true. Of course, she might be looking for promotion.
Promotion? Are you joking? Now, what's Gordon Carter got to do with promotion?
Well, he obviously makes the recommendations. How else would Shirley Evans get into product support?
Well, she's very attractive.
So what's that got to do with it?
Well, it's a big help when you're dealing directly with customers.
Not on the phone, it's not. No, Gordon and Shirley had something going on, and she got the recommendation.
Well, that's not fair.
Oh, come on, Nick. I stopped believing in fair and unfair at primary school. I don't think it's fair that you have blue eyes and mine are a sort of muddy grey. But that's life, and you'd better accept it or you'll spend all your life complaining.
Yeah, I suppose so. So, what do you think we ought to do?
About what?
About Pat and Gordon.
Nothing. Like you said, being weird isn't illegal.
No, but suppose something happens, then...
Oh, you've changed your tune, haven't you? You were saying that she's big enough and old enough to look after herself.
Oh, yes. I mean, she lives with her mum just up the road from us. I don't think there is a Mr. Taylor. My mum gets on with Mrs. Taylor, but Pat keeps herself to herself. I thought she was just shy, but if, as you say, she's looking for promotion...
Then good luck to her. I wouldn't kiss Gordon to be queen of all the fairies. But if she thinks it's worth it, that's up to her.
Yeah, I guess so. Look at the time. Better get back to Stuart Automotives, unless we want to kiss our jobs goodbye.
Yeah, okay. But keep your eye on Pat. Gorgeous Gordon might have great plans for her.
About all he has got, I reckon. More dud than stud. Come on.
Thank you.
So she never came after lunch.
That's right. Then, at about 3 o'clock, he went missing for about an hour. I thought at first he'd just gone to the loo, but he didn't come back till after four, so God knows where he'd been.
That's very odd, isn't it? I mean, if he wasn't in the loo, he can't have been in the building.
Well, the only other place he could have been is with Andrew Carter in his office. But he's not likely to be there for an hour.
Well, that's it. He wasn't there at all. Andrew phoned Gordon at about 3:30. Colin took the call and said he'd ask Gordon to phone Andrew on his return. So he can't have been there.
And did he?
Did he what?
Tell Gordon to phone when he got back.
Oh, yes. Gordon just said he'd go and see him. So we're no wiser.
So where was Gordon for that hour?
Must have left the building. Gone to a shop or something.
I guess so. What about Pat?
Just had half a day off, I suppose.
She never talks to anyone.
Except him.
No, yeah, I mean, she never talks to the girls. I thought she was just shy, but you can't stay that shy for 3 weeks.
Not shy. Scheming. I still think she's an ambitious girl who's on her way to the top. She was only in accounts for 2 months, and mark my word, she'll only be here for a matter of weeks. Talk about fast-tracking. She only joined the company 4 months ago as a typist.
Really? Well, where'd you get that from?
Sheila Begley in personnel. Sheila reckons she's learning a bit about all of the departments before she gets a PA job to one of the directors.
Oh, well, that figures. Those buggers will sniff around anything in a skirt.
So if Gordon thinks he can influence Miss Taylor with his rank, he's got another thing coming. This girl is looking for big fish.
And Gordon is not but a minnow.
True. Oh, this is me, Nick. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, Ange. So, come on, tell all.
Well, there's not that much to tell.
Well, you said you had some news.
That's right. It clears up any mystery associated with the whereabouts of our friends yesterday afternoon.
Well, tell me then.
Sheila Begley told me this morning that Pat Taylor was at an interview yesterday afternoon. Secretary stroke PA to the CEO. Gordon was one of the four section managers who had to attend to confirm her competence.
Wow. A real meteoric rise to the top. A big fat salary, I expect.
Yes. Sheila wouldn't be drawn on that one, but she did say that the job spec included a company car.
A company car? Why does she need a company car?
She doesn't need a company car. Not many employees do need a company car. It's just part of the rewards package associated with particular jobs.
Well, I reckon that's a bloody scandal, and something should be done about it.
What?
Well, her getting a posh job like
no,
that.
No, no, what should be done about it?
About what?
Her getting this job. What are you proposing to do about it?
Me?
Yes, you. You're the one who says that something should be done, so what do you propose?
Well, we can't do anything, can we?
Oh, so it's we now, is it? Well, you leave me out of it. It's your idea.
Well, what can I do?
You could go to see the CEO and tell him that Pat Taylor performed no better in the sales ledgers department than anyone else. And that since you've been with the company 6 years, you should get the posh salary and the company car.
Oh, leave it out. I'd probably get the sack.
Yep.
Oh, well. She's welcome. Colin Stewart's a miserable-looking bugger.
Yeah. He doesn't attract them with his sparkling personality, does he? Oh, come on, Nick, we better get back. So Sheila reckons that Stewart was lucky to survive.
My God. Lucky it wasn't a murder charge then.
Well, it'll be attempted murder. Apparently there's major organ damage. He'll be an invalid for the rest of his life. Gordon spent a day at the hospital with him.
Yeah, I know. Mrs. Taylor talked to my mum. He'd apparently invited Pat back to his apartment. Later that evening, Pat phoned the police to say that she'd stabbed him and he was dead. got an ambulance and managed to resuscitate him.
Why did she do it?
Oh, I haven't the faintest. I think her mum knows, but she's not saying anything. Perhaps he tried it on with her.
Well, she might have slapped him, but she's not going to kill him for that, is she? There must be something else. I mean, 2 weeks into a new job, big fat salary, company car, why would you attempt to kill your boss?
Yeah, I know what you mean. There are times when I think I could strangle Gordon, but when it comes to it, I know I could never do it.
Oh, I don't know. The trial's on the 18th, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose with her pleading guilty, it won't take long.
Well, these things always take forever. They have to talk about background, motive and all sorts.
I was thinking I wouldn't mind going to the trial, but if it's going to take ages, I'll end up using all my annual holiday.
Well, if you went on the first day, you'd probably find out all that you need to know. If she's going to plead guilty, then the rest will be character witnesses, psychiatric reports and so on.
Yeah, well, I might just do that then.
Come on then, tell all.
Oh, I don't know where to start.
From the beginning. I can't wait to hear the gory details. I found you yesterday evening, but you were engaged all the time.
Yeah, well, that was boyfriend Alan.
Well, come on then.
Well, the first half hour was like housekeeping. You know, reading out the charge of attempted murder and identifying Pat and Colin Stewart and their lawyers and so on.
What did Colin Stewart look like?
Oh, he was slumped in a wheelchair, looking very thin and pale.
Lucky to be alive.
When they read out the charge, Pat admitted that she was guilty, and the judge said that the court would hear about the circumstances and come to some conclusion on the case.
Did she say why she did it?
Oh, yes. And that was the biggest shock of the day. I don't think anyone expected that.
What?
Colin Stewart is Pat's father.
Get out of here.
No, it's true. Pat's mum was just 18 when she became pregnant. Once Pat was born, her boyfriend did a runner and left Mrs. Taylor to bring up the child on her own. She went through some pretty tough times, and when Pat was a teenager, she vowed that she would kill the man who had deserted them and ruined her mother's life.
So she knew that Colin Stewart was her father?
No, that's where fate plays a remarkable part. Pat told one of her school friends that she was trying to trace her father. The school friend's father had been in the same situation, trying to trace a father who had deserted his young mother so many years ago. The two met, and after a couple of months of DNA matching and tracing, they proved that they had the same father, Colin Stewart.
Good God. And did this bloke also want to kill Stewart?
No, he had no great love for the man, but Stewart bought him off by giving him a nice cushy little job in Stewart Automotives.
Really? Do we know him?
Oh, possibly. His name is Gordon Carter.
Never. You're joking, aren't you?
I'd never joke about that.
My God. You just never know who you're working with, do
yeah,
you?
That's true. Come on, time's up. Back to the Office of Dreams. I've got an idea that the new girl in Jean's section is really the Home Secretary.
Angela was played by Jeanette Bennett and Nicola by Margaret Baldwin. Production was by Dave Baldwin. The musical theme, Straight, was from bensound.com.